The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Bye. Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. Your chance to have your say, whatever's on your mind. We're open line till one today. And you get in touch by calling 66 13 68. You can text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. On the Janara thing of taking over Manx.net, Tony said just what Julian was saying yesterday about dataless being valuable, especially if they're able to sell details onto catalogue companies and things like that, says Tony. We don't know, but obviously this will suddenly, if you start getting lots bombarded by lots of spam, it will be interesting to know where it's coming from. If you've had a Manx.net and you pay the new improved price to keep your Manx.net address, are you any hacks, any spam, or is it perfectly well behaved? And Texter 238 said, I wonder if there are any data protection issues with the sale of Manx.net emails. Does the new company have access to all previous email correspondence for each individual, or is that deleted during the transfer? Texter 785, as has been highlighted, there are many problems within the Isle of Man meat plant. Another's recently been reported, says 785. Farmers are now being paid a reduced rate for lambs classed as hoggets, meaning over 1 year old. Texter 785 says this is wrong. Some lambs born in March or April 2025 that are now going for slaughter are being downgraded as hoggets. However, if you buy lamb in the supermarket or at a butcher, it's still sold to the consumer as the more expensive lamb, not hogget. This is, well, this is 785's information. We don't know whether that's verified, but that's what 785 says. And if you want to comment on it, by all means do. Manx Telecom, says Ian, I've got a lot to answer for. The government also shouldn't have allowed an important service like Manx Telecom to sell us out in this way. A lot of questions should be asked of our MHKs about why we're in this position now. And a message in from Polly, who just said, didn't the government give upwards of £12 million to Manx Telecom to roll out all the fibre? So that's public money that's been given to Manx Telecom, which is going to now be sold on, we are told, to Jersey Telecom. Does the public get that money back, or is that just in there? All the public money that's been put in to upgrade the facilities, the infrastructure, and I'm told that Manx Telecom, or the entity which owns Manx Telecom, owns all the infrastructure. It's not national infrastructure, it's Manx Telecom's infrastructure, or whoever owns it this time. Sue's with us now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Andy. I want to cover a couple of subjects today.
Yeah.
The first one is, I listened to your programme on Wednesday when you were talking to the young people at Ballacameen School.
Yeah.
I enjoy listening to the ones when you go into the schools, because a lot of the kids that you talk to are very level-headed. They have good heads on the shoulders, so it does give us a little bit of hope for the future. During that programme, you asked them if they were going to vote in this year's election, and the answers sort of came back that they didn't feel that they had knowledge or were educated enough to be able to make a good quantified vote, and also they didn't know who they would be voting for. Well, surely, I mean, during that programme, you also found out that although they have lessons that include politics, it doesn't cover at all the Isle of Man politics or the political system on the island.
Yeah.
Now, to me, it would make sense if the education system here did teach the Isle of Man political system, because if you started teaching that sort of subject at around about the age of 10 or 11, then by the time they're coming to leave school after their A-levels, then they have a good educated knowledge of the system. And it might also spark some interest in some of them, that even if they go away for further education, like university and things like that, they might feel that they have enough knowledge then to be able to come back to the island after they've got the university qualifications to become involved in the political system.
I mean,
and
even,
maybe go
Sue,
on.
Sue, even if they just had lessons, one lesson just to say, we've got a House of Keys, we've got a Legislative Council, and together they make Timwald, and Timwald's been around for over 1,000 years, just that, but the fact that nothing about the Constitution is taught in schools.
Exactly, and I think that is really, really bad, especially for this government. I mean, if we want a solid government, a solid parliament for the future, then surely the best way to go about it is to start teaching the youngsters about the political parliamentary system that relates to this island. And then, as I say, they can learn over 7 or 8 years before they actually leave to either go on to jobs or go on to university, whatever they choose to do. But then they have got that educated knowledge. And even if it just leads them to be able to feel that they can make a quantified vote when it comes down to voting, it would stand this island in much better stead, because then we could have some really good MHKs, MLCs, commissioners, whatever, because they would have that knowledge.
Yeah.
And you never know, there might be a few of them who might be able to look at the way the system is running now, and they might be able to say, well, we can change that. I feel that I can do something about that.
It was interesting.
It
was interesting when I've spoken to, as you say, the students in the past, and they've almost independently come up with the same line, the same opinion, is that all the politicians say, and they're very proud of saying, we give 16-year-olds the vote. And the students then say, and then we're on our own.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the vote.
I mean,
so what do you do with it?
Well, the same thing goes for adults. I mean, myself, I don't understand the world of politics. And when it comes down to voting time, I just have to rely on really the information that is given to me at the time that the prospective candidates are standing there saying, we can do this, we promise this, we will do that, we can do this. And I have no further knowledge than that. So if the education system could give more knowledge and more education to the children of this island, to give them that more knowledge and that bit of further education regarding our political system, then again, surely it would stand this island in better stead.
Yeah.
And we would have a more solid parliament, more solid government, better educated ministers, because then they would understand it. If it goes back into the historical way that the government of this island has run, and the kids can see how it's built up to, well, the mess that it's in now, then they might be able to say, well, if it was done like this or if it was done like that, and feel that they can do something. I mean, they're probably hearing the adults and their own parents and their friends' parents moaning about the health system, about the roads, about the finance system. And they might think, well, what can I do? But if they're educated about it and taught about it early enough, they might come out and think, I can do something about this and I want to do something about this and get involved, you know. So it just makes sense to me that they do start teaching it rather than, I mean, I mentioned this to my husband, and he said, well, the government here just is showing that it just thinks that all the kids are going to go away, they're going to leave the island, they're going to go to university, they're not going to come back, so what's the point in teaching them about the island's political system? They might as well teach them about the UK political system, because that's where they're going to be. So to him, this island is saying, oh well, they're all going to go anyhow, so what's the point?
Anyway, what else did you want to talk about?
Well, one of you callers, it's the dinner time favourite subject, dog waste. One of you callers yesterday brought the subject up, and I'm glad he did, actually, because yesterday I was walking in Bluff Plantation, and as I was leaving Bluff Plantation at the main gate, I bumped into Bill Dale of Beach Buddies. And Beach Buddies have installed at Black Plantation's main gate, the big entrance gate, a bin for rubbish so that people that are walking through the plantation, if they see any rubbish, they can pick it up and they can take it to Beach Buddies bin and pop it in there. And Beach Buddies will come along every so often and empty it. Well, Bill, bless his heart, he was emptying that bin, but three quarters of it, not just the rubbish, but the three quarters of the bin full was dog waste.
Oh, no.
Because there is no poo bin at Balaf Plantation. And I mentioned to Bill that he might be better off putting a sign on the bin that says no dog waste, please. And he said that he had considered that. And we had a chat for a while, and he told me that Beach Buddies no longer receives any assistance from the government at all in any way whatsoever. And that he feels a bit... I think he was on a bit of a low, bless him, because he was feeling a bit hard done to because of that, because he said that the job that Beach Buddies does really is something that the government should be doing, i.e. cleaning up the beaches, the plantations, giving facilities for people to put rubbish into and everything. It's something that the government should be doing. But for him to feel that he needs to rake through three quarters of a wheelie bin full of dog waste because the government haven't put a simple dog poo bin up at the plantation, obviously it was getting to him a bit.
I wonder is that commissioner is that going to be DOI? Or DEFA, for that matter.
I think it's DEFA, because as I was walking home, I mean, my conversation with Bill, I felt so sorry for him. As I was walking home, I did actually ring DEFA. And I spoke to the forestry department, and my question to them was quite a simple one. Why is there no poo bin at Bluff Plantation? The answer came back, there never has been one. So I then asked, well, how do I get one put up there? And the answer was, well, you can request one. So I said, right, so who do I contact? Who do I speak to get one? And they gave me an email address, but they also, at the same time as giving me the email address, said, well, you can request one, but it probably won't be actioned. Now, to me, Andy, that is awful. That is such a terrible attitude.
Probably won't be actioned.
Yeah, to me, that was them saying, there's never been one there, we're not bothered about it, you can request it as many times as you want, but it probably won't be actioned. Now, if Beach Buddies have got a bin up there that is three quarters full, I mean, it's a proper wheelie bin size, it's three quarters full of dog waste, then that proves that there is a need for a dog poo bin up at Balaf Plantation, that people will pick up the dog waste and they will bag it and they will put it in a bin. Unfortunately for Bill at the moment, they are using his rubbish bin.
That's certainly something. I just wonder whether there are any others around the other plantation, Kringle or Arshalligan or anywhere, whether there are dog mess bins around there, because you would assume that will be, because lots of dogs get walked in the plantations.
I've walked in Kringle, I've walked in South Barul, I've walked in Arshalligan. They all have dog bins. They all have dog bins.
Oh, really?
At the car park.
Right.
Yes. And it is just Balaf. The nearest dog poo bin to Balaf Plantation is actually in Balaf Village. In the centre of the village, there's a little recycling area where you can do cans and glass and stuff like that. And there is one poo bin there. Now, I walk all the way from home. I live in Balaf and I walk all the walks around the area. If I walk down the railway line from Balaf towards Kirkmichael, the nearest poo bin is, apart from the one in the village, the nearest one is around about 2 miles away towards Kirkmichael. If I go the other way from Balaf heading off towards Sulby, there are no poo bins at all along the railway line. Now, there are little lanes coming off quite frequently where you can get down to the main road, and it would be so easy to put poo bins down there. I mean, what must the tourists of this island think? Because there are no poo bins, people tend to just leave it. They're not going to pick up a poo bag and full of poo. Sorry to people having their dinner, but they're not going to do that I mean, a lot of people won't pick up. Some people don't pick up. Some people forget the poo bags. But if there were poo bins, then more people would bag. More people would bag it and bin it, you know. But there is a complete lack. There are less poo bins now than there were. So if there were more poo bins, but especially up at Balaff, I mean, I think they're taking the mickey out of Beach Buddies, knowing that his bin is being used for this, and they're just saying, "Now, oh, well, Bill Dale's doing it. We don't need to do it." It's not Bill Dale's job.
It's almost like they're taking Beach Buddies for granted.
Yes, exactly. And I think Bill, bless him, although he probably is in a situation where he can't now withdraw Beach Buddies because it does such a good thing on the island, he's a little bit downhearted at the reaction he gets from the government with no financial assistance, no assistance on anything whatsoever. And he said to me that he actually gets flack from the government for the job that Beach Buddies does. Well, I mean, that is so bad, Andy. And if it goes with anything like the reaction I got from the forestry department, oh well, there's never been one, and so in quietness under their own breath they're saying, we don't care about it, we're not going to action it even if you ask about it. It's a really bad attitude, Andy. It's left me a bit gobsmacked. I'm a bit shocked by the reaction that I got yesterday, you know.
Okay, you don't happen to know which number you called, do you, for DEFA?
Well, I just called the main one, and then it gives you options for who you speak to. And because it said forestry, I thought, well, it's in Balaff Plantation. I'll choose that one.
Okay, so if anybody else wants to make the point, then by all means call the DEFA main office number and make your point. If all the other plantations have got them, why shouldn't Balaff have one?
Yeah, I mean, she gave me an email address of forestry@gov.in if anybody wants to send an email in, but according to her, it won't be actioned. So it's just really bad. It's a bad reaction, Andy, and I'm quite annoyed and quite upset by that reaction as well, especially on Bill's behalf. It's terrible.
Sue, we appreciate your call. Thanks for alerting us to that. Thanks for calling. Have a good weekend.
Okay, and you.
All right, 22 minutes past 12, and if you want to cheer Bill up, Beach Buddies are by the Peel. I think they're at Spit Corner, is it? I think they are. Oh, no, by the Swing Bridge. Peel Swing Bridge on Sunday, 10:30. Every Sunday morning at 10:30, Beach Buddies get together, and they provide everything, the gloves and the litter pickers and the bags and everything. They take all the rubbish away. All you need to do is turn up with your own muscle power and a big smile. And if you're going on Sunday morning, go and say hi to Bill. And, well, that's somewhat depressing news, but... And I promise not to talk about that subject anymore between now. If you're eating, you can go back. Just a heads up to other motorists, the mountain road is closed. There's a lot more traffic on the Laxey to Ramsey Coast Road. There's a road sweeper just after Baldrine heading towards Laxey. It's causing a tailback of about half a mile. Now, this is adding to congestion while another major route is closed. Laxey to Ramsey Coast Road, road sweeper just after Baldrine. You'll be there a while, so don't try any overtaking tricks. Why doesn't the Steam Packet's new ship have sails as well as engines to help reduce emissions and keep the environmental campaigners happy? Says 863. Of course, ferries need to run round the clock. Sails are unpredictable in the... There are some, I think, is it Stena have just introduced a ferry into which goes from Heysham into Belfast, and it's got two in what look like enormous funnels, and they're sails. But apparently it would make it harder to manoeuvre safely in places like Douglas and Liverpool with these things on. Modern ships save fuel through cleaner engines and better hull design. Some big cargo ships use wind-assisted technology, but whether or not it would suit us. But anyway, maybe Brian Johnson knows all about that. Is the new Steam Packet ferry going to have sails? Pammy dropped a note in just to say, I've heard that there's a Palestinian support office opened on the Isle of Man. Does anybody have any information about this? Well, yes. A local branch of the pro-Palestinian campaign was recently set up on the Isle of Man. It's part of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign and describes itself as a meeting place for people who support human rights, freedom and equality for Palestinians. Organisers say they oppose all forms of racism, including anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and want to uphold universal human rights. Now, it's not an official government office. It's a local community group that people can join if they choose, has its own membership and activities. There have also been other demonstrations and vigils on the Isle of Man in support of Palestinian civilians and calls for political action organised by groups like Amnesty International, Isle of Man and others. So there's your answer, Pammy. And Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I hope you can hear me all right. I'm a roving report today. It's a little windy, but I've got the noise cancelling on, so hopefully you can hear me all right.
You're not at Erie Stain, are you?
No, not that far away, actually. Speaking of hills and stuff, I noticed the news this morning about the heavy snowfall on the mountain. I think they need to look on Euronews at yesterday's headline, Moscow records heaviest snowfall in more than 200 years, meteorologists say. Moscow had the most in 203 years, 92 millimetres. And the Kamchatka Peninsula, that, as you'll know, is well used to snow, has declared an emergency. So, not quite sure about this global boiling thing when
well,
we've got 93.
The good news is that a week today, I love the Winter Olympics. The Winter Olympics start, and there's enough snow. It's in Cortina and the Milan area there. So, they've got enough snow. Yeah. It's not like it was. Do you remember in Sochi, I think it was it 2014, when they had hardly enough snow and they had to make artificial snow?
Yeah, I know. It seems to be completely reversing. And America's had massive amounts of snow recently as well in the northeast and in the central north. So, interesting. I just bumped into somebody just a few minutes ago, actually. A scam on Manx.net. They said that, luckily, somebody rang them because they'd received an email from this person saying that their credit card hadn't worked. Could they please send... could they please go and
the holder of this email address, could they please go and get them an Amazon gift card worth £250 and give them the details on the phone?
So when they actually went back and looked at this, they've done nothing of the sort. So I don't know how trustworthy. I think people are going to have to be really careful. If they start receiving Manx.net emails requesting things like Amazon gifts, gift cards, especially if it's an email one, because I think all you have to do is just get the code and put it in within the basket before you check out. So if people are getting requests from a Manx.net account that they think is them, I think they're going to have to double check on stuff like this.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't know. We've had periodically over the past few years times when there have been scams. Even when it was Manx.net, there was stuff happening all the time. And I think Janara have been looking after, or Admail have been looking after Manx.net for a wee while, and now they take the money for it. So maybe it's always been there, but now people are having to pay. They didn't mind it when it was free, but now you're having to pay for it and getting. That's a bit much, really. Isn't it?
Well, I mean, the other thing is, I mean, if people are having these problems, it's not only the Information Commissioner, but you've got the Police Fraud Office, and you've also got trading standards for Janara if they're operating over here. I mean, there are avenues here to try and force them. If they're not even answering questions from people, there are avenues to do this locally. Last thing I was going to say quick, I agree with Betty and Peter yesterday, not particularly religious, but I do notice at the last census, 54.7% identified as Christian. 54.7%, so that's kind of way past 50%. And then you had 43.8% that non-religious. But Betty's, and probably quite a few other people, are also in that 43.8%. So the majority seem to they're identifying as Christian, or even if they don't.
Yeah.
And if we are getting rid of the bishop, what about those Nolan principles? Because, things like no FOIs for taxpayer-paid steam packet and MDC at Westmoreland Road, that's, how does that, is that compatible with openness and accountability when it comes to the Nolan principles? How about Jersey, where they've got a commissioner for standards who is completely independent. I mean, we've got Michelle Hayward, Gary Cluett, Rob Mercer are on the Tynwald Standards Committee. So it's kind of marking your own homework, isn't it? So at what point, you know, if we're going to be talking about moral frameworks and everything,
there's no separate, you know, you talk about separation of government from religion. Well, how about separating MHKs and MLCs marking their own homework?
Okay. All right, Julian, we appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Don't get lost in the hills.
I'll try not to. Thank you too, Andy. Cheers.
All right, 12:30 now. I doubt if Gaz said, Andy, I doubt Gmail and others are registered here. A more serious issue might be if any Isle of Man businesses use Janara and face a threat to the personal data that they hold. Well, obviously, Janara aren't here. They're in Brisbane on the east coast of Australia and many hours in front of us, so we can't talk to them. And we don't know, nobody's really, you would think Janara would have a representative here, wouldn't you? Even for the first 6 months, just to make sure that, that everything's okay. Checks and balances are needed across all organisations, says George. It seems to me that our government and MHKs don't like whistleblowers, and this government appears to be very good at covering their tracks. Anybody saying there's no corruption or wrongdoing in government and other local authorities, in my view, is mistaken or ignoring what is happening. Well, what do the unions have to say about this?
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
A trade union on the island's calling for an independent panel to determine what is classed as whistleblowing on the Isle of Man. Tynwald Committee, looking at whether the Isle of Man government's policies in whistleblowing are fit for purpose, has heard its first evidence. It was formed to address some of the concerns following the fallout of the Dr. Rosalind Ranson Tribunal. Do you remember that? Do you remember how much that cost? Debbie Holsall is head of the Isle of Man branch of Unite the Union and believes no one is coming forward to report potential cases because of a perceived lack of protection.
Under the policy, concerns are raised internally and handled by managers, departments and HR. Investigations, decisions and outcome remain internal throughout. So there's no independent reporting route, there's no independent investigation, no guarantee of anonymity, and no independent review where protection is removed. So the key statements in what we will be looking at, whistleblowing is managed internally from start to finish. That is unacceptable. Protection depends on internal classification with no independent review. HR is part of the employer and cannot be independent by design. A system that investigates itself cannot provide genuine protection, and as such, it's marking its own homework. In some whistleblowing related cases, individuals cannot continue working as their employment ended through settlement agreements containing confidentiality clauses to prevent individuals from speaking out about their whistleblowing experience, removing transparency and organisational learning, which are then dumbed down from a whistleblowing to just a grievance, which is facilitated by HR. In some cases, representatives from the AG's chambers have attended meetings connected to handling or resolution of whistleblowing-related employment matters. This highlights the power, imbalance and experience by individuals whose whistleblowing protection has fallen away. Until whistleblowing arrangements are independent, protected and trusted, they will not provide genuine protection. We are asking for an independent panel to review all whistleblowing, and I don't see why a trade union cannot sit within that independent panel. The fall away is the protection of a whistleblower. They are put back into a lion's den. That's what happens because it's incestuous. The behaviour, the nepotism and everything that runs through this, I stand, I watch, I see what happens and I see no accountability. And that's why you need independence on whistleblowing.
Debbie Holsall, head of the Isle of Man branch of Unite the Union on whistleblowing on the Isle of Man. A message in from Shirley, who just said, you were talking about politics earlier on and young people getting into politics, having been given the vote at the age of 16. Well, Andy, says Shirley, everything is politics. Everything that we do is touched by politics. Everything you do, whether you drive down a road or walk down a pavement, you walk down the street, your utility bills, the food you buy, it's got tax on it. Everything is governed by politics. So the more our students and our children know about politics, surely that's the better. Well, I was chatting to some of the teachers at Ballacameen and saying, why wasn't there any politics in the curriculum? Bluntly, because they're not allowed to show it, they can be accused of bias. Okay, so the moment you start talking about politics, the moment you mention a politician or another politician or a political party, somebody may take it the wrong way and accuse you of bias. So that's one of the reasons. However, it's worth knowing, and this is an open letter, if you like, to every MHK. Ballacameen has over 400 children, young people, aged over 16. So within Ballacameen High School, and presumably within all the other high schools, although Ballar's the biggest, within all the other high schools, so if Ballacameen's got over 400 potential voters, think how many voters are in the other. And if our politicians aren't talking to those 16-year-olds, then why have we bothered giving them the vote at 16?
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Craig's Heartstrong Foundation will be providing free heart screenings at Nobles Hospital on the 25th and 26th of April. Places will be available to book on Friday the 20th of February at 4 p.m. To book, visit craigheartstrongfoundation.co.uk or visit the Craig Heartstrong Foundation socials.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Feeding friends and family with the finest the island has to offer. The Forge Smokehouse and Grill Santon. Fresh Manx produce marinated, slowly cooked, grilled and smoked to perfection right here and served in a gorgeous setting. Just walk in anytime, no booking needed. Parties, family gatherings and weddings, the perfect venue for any occasion. And don't forget our large marquee for any event. Visit theforge.im and see.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Me and you, we're going to get along just fine. Why, you ask? Because, like us, you don't sit around waiting for things to happen. You make it happen. At Orchard Recruitment, our calling is to help you find yours. We take the time to understand you, your interests, skills, goals, and aspirations, and find opportunities so perfect it'll feel like you found the one, in a strictly professional sense, of course. Get going at orchardrecruitment.com. Orchard Recruitment, a refreshing change.
Stock arriving weekly at Ramsey Garden Centre. Discover potted spring bulbs, summer bulbs, seed potatoes, onion and garlic sets, wildflower seeds, sweet pea, microgreens, plantable biodegradable pots and propagation essentials. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
Next month, the newly appointed Treasury Minister Chris Thomas will present the final budget of this administration just weeks after taking on the role. And what's announced will affect every one of us. So that's why Manx Radio is giving you the opportunity to put your questions directly to him as part of our budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crow Isle of Man. Join us live on Friday the 20th of February from 5 p.m. at Lukey's at the Best Western Palace Hotel for an open audience discussion with the Minister, which will also be broadcast live on Manx Radio. Tickets are free but limited, so be sure to reserve your place now by visiting manxradio.com. Manx Radio's budget 2026 coverage brought to you by Crow Isle of Man.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Just under the message from DOI, the mountain road is now open, although please drive to the conditions and please drive carefully. That means none of that overtaking stuff up there. Anyway, the mountain road is open. Members of Timbald are slowly getting rid of our heritage, says Patricia. First the governor, now the bishop, along with our structures. Timbald Day as such is finished, as politicians can no longer enter church as is no longer of any meaning to them. Surely they're not two-faced enough to enter the house of God and climb that hill for the promotion of laws. The Isle of Man was built on Christianity, farmers and fishermen alike. And also, going to school in the 50s, one of our English lessons was debating. That mainly involved politics, and we were made aware of our political future. Unfortunately, we've had about 50 years of a ministerial government. There are some debating societies, I think, in various schools, but interesting. Is Jinara part of the Admail group? Yes, Jinara is part of the Admail group, a global team of email specialists who have been providing secure, reliable email services to customers in the Isle of Man since 2019 and to hundreds of millions of email users globally for more than 27 years. So is Jinara less secure than the previous email provider? And does Jinara sell my data? Well, Jinara, this is, we've had a word from Jinara, by the way. No, we maintain the high standards of data. We are a radio station. It would be nice if somebody spoke rather than gave us words to read out. We maintain the high standards of data protection and security. I'll do that in an Australian accent, Joe. Ensuring that every email remains private and confidential. Together with Admail, we are committed to ISO 27001, a highly respected information security management standard. So they say, no problem, nothing to see here. Move along. We've had your £65. I received an email from Jinara this morning, says Lynn, saying that they're aware of the misinformation out there at the moment and have answered some of the questions that people were asking. Okay, well, what do we do if somebody gets hacked? Precisely, what happens then? Here's Bonzo with us now. Hi, Bonzo. You've not been hacked, have you, Bonzo?
Well, no, I still seem to have one half of a leg. something like that. No, I remember. I remember IS 27001 and its successors. Don't talk to me about that. And when they talk about the Data Protection Act, do they mean the Data Protection Act of the State of Australia, the Federal Government of Australia, or what? You see, bit of a difficult one that. You know about the internet, of course. How can you enforce law on the internet?
With great difficulty.
Well, yes. Get a dog. You know, they're usually the people on the end of it. Yes, about educating younger people in politics.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. Why don't the president of Tynwald and the clerk of Tynwald go around the schools in the coming months, doing a couple of hours of presentations to each school to explain the outline of what Isle of Man politics is, what it does, what Tynwald does, in order to give them a basic grounding in what they will be able to vote for in the September elections. They, of course, being politically neutral, there's no reason why they shouldn't.
Yes, no accusation of bias.
No. So that's something for Lawrence Skelly and Jonathan King, I think, to put in their to-do list.
I was astonished when I was talking to the one of the senior teachers at Balcombe when he told me over 400 16-year-olds, and there are 400 votes in Balcombe that I'm guessing the politicians haven't thought about, Bonzo.
Oh, this happens a lot, you get various areas because you have a kind of friends and family and locally based within an area of the constituency vote that you know will turn out. You don't have to bother campaigning anywhere else. There's very much a thing in Aaron Michael, for example. Also, here in Rashen with the Speaker, Jill Watson. Both of them really only have to put their names on the ballot paper in order to get in. They have very well established votes in one sort of bit or two bits of the constituency, and so various areas will be left. You will hear during the election people saying they haven't knocked on my door, no, because they've looked at their electoral map and they've seen about the various little pieces of the constituency, and they'll go, oh, I can get my votes there. No, can't get any votes there. No, so it's not worth my time traipsing around. Which is pretty basic about how you do political campaigning. But that does mean that there are substantial chunks of votes to be had And I think this will be something that newer parties and parties that have been more, I think, on the margins, you know, such as, say, the Liberal Van Greens, to look and see, actually, do you know what? We could get in if we actually got the vote out in those particular seats, in those particular areas of seats.
Well, I take it you're going to be voting in September.
Yes.
What will you be wanting to hear from your potential candidates, Bonzo?
I would hope to hear a commitment to tax reform, which means properly progressive taxation, that means that the broader shoulders bear the biggest burden. And it's completely the other way around at the moment. That at least would start to address some of the problems of cost of living and people's disposable income and how much can actually sort of go around in the Manx economy and help things like retail and hospitality to be more sustaining. Also, a policy whereby the steam packet is viewed as a tool of economic policy. It is no longer run at arm's length, and you know, it is seen as something that if it requires subsidy in order to generate income, then we subsidise it so that we can have affordable fares, so that we can have affordable freight for smaller businesses and such. And also, of course, them purchasing a new vessel, which is more of a conventional vessel for the to replace the fast craft. I mean, it doesn't have to be that slow. As I recall, the old little Cunarders, as they were called, if you've ever seen some of the photographs of Brian Thompson, there's a model of one of them, usually just behind him, in a cage in the boardroom. And those in 1908, I think they did 28 knots. And they were advertised as doing 28 knots, you know, which is almost warship kind of speeds. Certainly something, a more conventional ship that could do sort of 25 knots. Yeah, brilliant. That would be ideal for the Liverpool run. But certainly I think the days of fast craft are not only because of the oversea conditions, but also just how much fuel they drink. No, I think those days are gone.
But those
are the kind of areas that I would say that really need focus and need prioritisation order to actually...
Yeah, the government's
make
got
life better and
the,
rebuild
the government's economy. Got to alter the sea services agreement, hasn't it? Because the sea services agreement at the moment dictates a fast craft service.
Yes, and when is it up for alteration? I think it's not long now.
Oh, I see.
Is it? But I think one of the things also is this idea that yes, the Treasury holds the Isle of Man steam packet kind of in trust for the people of the Isle of Man. Well, yeah, fine. We've spent what? When you add in what the ferry, what the new boat, the Manxman, cost, almost £200 million. I think the Manx taxpayer would like to see something for that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Right. Thanks for calling today, Bonzo. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Then.
Have
Cheers.
A good weekend. Thank
Thanks.
You. All
Thank
right.
You.
It's 12 minutes before one on Manx Radio. It sounds like a backward step from the steam packet, says 376, texter Anonymous. No more fast craft, apparently. Reading between the lines, what Brian Thompson, the managing director of the steam packet, says that they're seeking feedback on what you want from the new vessel that will replace Mananin. You know, for ages, we've had sea cats for a long time. Many of them. Do you remember the Snaefell, the Danmark, the Rapide? Cracky, that was a weird ship, wasn't it? The Sea Cat Rapide. And then came those gorgeous Super Sea Cats, the really gleaming white Super Sea Cats we had, the Wave Piercers. Well, apparently now a like-for-like replacement isn't necessarily possible. So it could be there will be no more fast craft service, but a conventional vessel, as Bonzo said, could really go at a fair old lick. How would you feel about it? Text, email, call, WhatsApp, anything else on your mind?
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
They may try to offer you a tasty carrot. Perhaps they'll try to give you some stick. But whatever you do, don't become a money mule. It's just not worth the risk. Don't let anyone move money through your bank account, however tempted you may be. You could end up facing serious consequences, including a criminal record, bank account closure, as well as difficulty securing loans or credit in the future. A message brought to you by Isle of Man Bankers Association, Financial Crime Partnership, the IOM Constabulary, and Cyber Security Centre for the Isle of Man. For further information, visit csc.gov.im.
TE Cabin provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cabin, here when you need us.
On Friday 27th of February, get ready for another night of Lido Nostalgia at the Villa Marina. DJs Neil Cowie and Peter Dunn will be playing all the tunes that made the Lido an iconic Manx venue with a high-tech laser disco. Plus, a special guest appearance from Richie Sampson of the Drifters and the Foundation's fame. Get your tickets at villagaiety.com. Lido Night at the Villa Marina, Friday the 27th of February. Presented by RS Promotions and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week. Brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
It's 9 minutes before one. It's Friday lunchtime. They're not getting rid of the bishop, says H. The bishop's losing the vote, that's all. They're not employed as a politician. It's insulting to suggest that their morals are better than unbelievers or people of other faiths, this is H's words. Nothing will really change. Surely the bishop has plenty of religious work to be getting on with. It's just that the Diocese of York, which is what the Diocese of Soder and Men comes under, have said that if the bishop is not in there, then maybe they'll just, we won't have a bishop anymore. The Bishop of Soder and Men may disappear after Trish the Bish this time, Bishop Tricia, and we will then have a peripatetic bishop who'll nip over from York every now and again, maybe for Tynwald Day, maybe for Christmas or something like that. So it may be that at the end of this this idea that from the Liberal Vanin party that, you know, the bishop should lose the vote, we may lose the bishop. Now, it may be that that doesn't concern you whatsoever. It may be that you couldn't care less whether we have a bishop or not. But we have had a bishop for many years, and many people appreciate the presence of a bishop. And not only that, it's also part of a Manx tradition. So what do we do? As Julian said, 50+% identified as Christian, 40-something percent none. But then again, we had the message the other day from Betty, who said she's an atheist, but she adheres to Christian principles. Hey, so let's hear what the managing director of the steam packet said about what the boat's going to be when this current Manxman runs out of time.
She's just of an age where she's getting older. We've had mechanical issues with her, and ships just don't last forever.
Do you have any ideas what this new vessel might look like at this stage?
I think everybody has individual ideas on what they would like, and the whole point of this consultation is to get people's ideas, but, you know, they'll sort of be put in the pot and analysed, and then sort of compromises will be made where they can, but giving the majority of the public what they want.
What does a state-of-the-art vessel look like?
I think that's really unlikely, because I think one of the biggest things that sort of anecdotally comes out of conversations with people across the island is connectivity to Liverpool year-round, and that would be really, really difficult with a high-speed catamaran. But, you know, we do have an open mind. No decisions have been made at this point, and we want to just gather that information before any decisions are made.
I've been through this survey this morning. You're running it for a couple of weeks, I understand. Have you had many responses so far?
So far, we've had nearly 1,000 responses. So, yeah, great. I'm hoping, you know, that the more people, the better, so we have a sort of rounded view of the island.
So do you think we're going to be looking at a vessel that will be slightly slower than Manannan, ultimately?
Yeah, I think that's inevitable, because those kind of speeds can only really be achieved by the catamarans. But I think we're still looking, being able to do two round trips to Liverpool. I think that's important.
You've previously stated 120 million, I believe, you're looking to spend on this replacement. Is that still the case?
That's sort of the top line, yeah. You know, we don't have quotes or anything from shipyards, but that would be based on building something like the Manxman.
So you're looking at building something from scratch?
Given how successful the Manxman project was, despite what social media might tell you, I think that is the way forward, because then we'll get a vessel that's fit for what we want it to do.
And what's going to happen to Manannan?
Well, at the moment, hopefully she's going to provide great, reliable, efficient service between now and 2030, and really no decision's been made on that.
Well, you wonder, don't you, what's going to happen? Thanks to my maritime experts who are sending me, apparently the people who built that, we get all our sea cats from Incat, which is a company based in Hobart in Tasmania, off the south coast of Australia. Incat have built an electric, the world's largest lightweight electric battery ship. It's true, it's Hull 96. You can take a look at incat.com. And it's been built for a South American company operating between Buenos Aires and Uruguay. 130 metres long, 2,100 passengers and 226 vehicles. And it runs on batteries. Wow. Due to whistleblowing on the Isle of Man, in two cases, one person was paid over £3 million, another £675,000. Is this why the government doesn't like whistleblowers? If the true number of people who could whistleblow came forward, it would cost the Isle of Man an absolute fortune, says Texter 004. John dropped a note in just to say there was an interesting programme on the BBC about Scotland and the treacherous Pentland Firth, and the ferry used to Orkney is a catamaran. And Gaz said, Andy, the hackers and fraudsters have become more interested in Manx.net and the Janara email accounts because of the publicity about people on the Isle of Man now paying for it. Surely if bias were taken into consideration, then French, German and Spanish wouldn't be taught in schools. Now that would show bias towards certain countries and languages. I think bias is a convenient excuse. Well, it is a genuine question. We've given the vote to 16-year-olds, but how do we help them along? How do we teach them about how the building works, the factory works, without showing bias, that is? I've worked in government and was shocked that so many government workers knew very little about Timbald or the House of Keys, or even who their minister was, says Ted. Right, that's it. Thanks to Chris on the phone today. The answer phone's on 682-631. Have a fantastic weekend.
WIE.